This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Our first guest this afternoon is the assistant coach for the Michigan State basketball team, Dane Fife. So we're going to talk a little MSU hoops with Dane. But first off, let me tell you, you need to call 884-4783. That's 884-4783 if you want to win tickets to tomorrow night's game of Arkansas Pine Bluff in Michigan State. So give us a call at 517-884-4783. 4783. That's 517-884-4783. Now let's bring in our guest, Dane Fife. Hey, Coach, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Earl. How are you?
Hey, doing good. And, you know, I have this big question on my mind I wanted to ask you. I know I talked with Tom about it before, but I want, from your perspective, when you know you're supposed to beat a team, everybody thinks you're going to beat this team. And even the kids think, hey, this is a game that they're going to, they can beat them. Yeah, I assume they think there's not going to be a lot of effort. How do you approach this? How do you tell the kids they got to play maybe their best for a team that just isn't in their league?
Well, I think one of the things that we're trying to do right now, Earl, is make ourselves better. I mean, and I think that's one approach is making sure everybody understands that technically we probably should beat Pine Bluff. And, you know, it may not be close. But it may be close. And on the flip side, we don't know a lot about them. And I think that's the main issue when you look at dealing with the opponent. But I think mainly right now we are trying to get better and we are trying to worry about us. And I think that doesn't mean you're downplaying who you play. I think that really says that if we focus on what we need to do to get better, and do those things out on the floor, and that's all we worry about, then we'll win the game. And I think that can be Arkansas Pine Bluff, or that can be Arkansas. And I think that's the approach we have right now, is the old John Wooden approach. We don't care about the other team. We care what we do.
And what about, you know, when you care about what you do, I know Tom's talked about the shortening the rotation. Is that part of the problem of trying to shorten the rotation or getting the right guys on the floor at the right time?
I think so. I think we're looking at different combinations. But, you know, Coach has said over the past couple of days, he definitely wants to crunch it down a little bit. That way we get guys more of a rhythm. At least we feel guys are better off playing more of a set time. They know what time they have, and you know, it also gives them plenty of breaks. I think that you know, like Coach has said, it's important that we get to that point soon. You know, we've had some injuries, our rotations have been upset a little bit, and we've had to play a couple guys out of position or out of their natural positions. But you know, if you look at Brandon Dawson being probably more where he's better suited at the four. You know, we've had to have Trice and Keith playing a combo look here the past couple weeks. That'll be something that hopefully we'll be able to settle in with Trice and Keith playing mainly the point, maybe a little bit at the two guard apiece. But feel better about where we're at. We feel better about where our team's going, that's for sure.
And I talked with Denzel Valentine last night, and he was telling me some of the adjustments he's still making. From your standpoint, from the coach's standpoint, what adjustment do freshmen have to make? You know, they're almost halfway through their first year.
Well, speed and strength are the big part. That's something that Denzel has to continue to do. He needs to be able to catch up with the speed of the game. I think he sees it. I think he doesn't sometimes give enough credit to the opponent in that they're a lot faster than they were in high school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kids are as good as they're coached in high school. They get a lot more coaching in college, so they understand, the opponent understands the game more. And I think that's, you know, an issue not just Denzel but all freshmen have is the speed. And then the talent And then the knowledge of the game, just everything's better up here. Like I said, it's not just Denzel, it's all freshmen. It's Anthony Davis at Kentucky last year. It's all freshmen, and I think he's figuring it out. You know, we feel pretty good about where Denzel's at. We feel pretty good about his coachability. He's been very coachable. He's been very receptive. So he'll continue to get better. We're very confident in that.
Over the years, and actually many years ago, I used to talk with Tom about freshmen. They always used to have a difficult time getting in the film room and watching film. Do you have that problem these days with many freshmen? Do they all get in the film room and try to learn more about the game?
Well, I think especially now, you've got different. Well, one, you've got a lot more things to do. You've got videos, you've got cell phone. There's just a lot more things to do for kids. And so I don't think that kids today are getting a very a great view on what it takes to be the best. And so, you know, college is still a little bit backwards in that we still watch a lot of video. We still do a lot of the blue collar stuff. Things aren't done for you a lot. You got to do it on your own, and I guess that's life in general. But I think guys, you know, high school is still a little bit behind in terms of their film equipment, all high schools. So I think when they get here, naturally, they have a tougher time understanding what it takes to be a great player. And so, you know, not just all freshmen, I think, have an adjustment period in those aspects. And, you know, I think it ultimately comes down, Earl, you know this, are you coachable, do you want to get better, or do you not? And I think that's the difference between the good ones and the great ones.
Yes, that is a consistent problem that they're going to have to deal with, this learning how to view and what to look for when they get into the film room. So I assume that's not a very big problem. They just got to get used to it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. There you go. It's creating a habit. It's understanding that these kind of things, watching film, getting some extra work done in the in between classes, and not necessarily even studying yourself. When you're watching an NBA game, you're just not watching for the dunks and the great passes. You're studying what actually goes on within the game, and I think that's an important part of it too. Is really learning from the best, and what better than to learn from the NBA players, some of the great players that play the game today. And in the past.
Hey, Coach, where does AAU fit in? I know it's not high school. It's not college. So where is AAU's fit? I mean, they have a lot of high school players, but, that's a different kind of a game, too.
We've got some very good AAU coaches in this state. In fact, we've got some very good AAU coaches in the Midwest. And I think that's the key to me is what are kids being taught? Are they being taught anything? And I think that's one thing that the AU coaches, many of them do in Michigan, is they love basketball and they love to coach it. It's not just a way to be around some great players or be around some high-profile college coaches. It's a legitimate interest in coaching the game of basketball and teaching and working with kids. And I think we're fortunate here in this state to have that. And we're in a great area. The Midwest, there's a lot of that. There's not a lot of politics in AAU. In our area, so it's pretty fortunate, and I think it's an advantage. I think although I think there's too much of it, I think there's way kids are playing way too much at such a young age. I do think there is an advantage to AAU.
Okay, and that's just something that I know the coaches have to deal with it with all the AAU. Things, but you think it is a good thing that kids go through high school, then go through AAU. A lot of it's at the same time. I've always thought that maybe that they do too much AAU and that affects how they play in high school.
You know, it does have its negative parts to it. I'm not going to deny that, but I do think in our state, in our area, as long as you're not doing too much, I still believe in two-sport, multi-sport athletes. I believe. The development of character, the development, if you're going to have the chance to play after high school, you develop different muscles, different parts of your body that I think are important when coming back to basketball, when relating to basketball. If you play soccer, it's obviously great for your feet. You know, my dad's a high school coach at Clarkson. He thinks that Kids should always all play. He thinks that all of his kids should play football because it obviously develops that toughness. You learn to play with those knick-knack injuries. A jammed finger isn't so much when you're out on the football field. And then that spills over into basketball, or someone steps on your foot, so you turn your ankle in football. That stuff doesn't really matter in football, you know. And I think that stuff, again, is great when you turn around for basketball season. AAU, again, has its good things, but I think it also has its negatives, too. Kids are playing year-round. I don't necessarily agree with that.
Yeah. Now, Dane, how was it for you when you first got into coaching? Later on today, I've got a first-year coach going to start out. So how was it for you when you first got into coaching and first started coaching?
You know what, Earl? It's something I've always wanted to do, but I don't think, you know, anything can prepare people when you're in charge. You know, when you're in charge, essentially you're in charge of your own business. And it's the great part of it is I've had the chance to work with some great people, not just the players, but the people in athletics. And, you know, it's still, the sporting world is, especially in college and high school, it's still pretty primitive. I mean, it's still pretty simple. There's not a ton of politics involved. Obviously, in college, you have a few figures who, you know, break rules and screw it up for the rest of us. But it's still pretty primitive. It's pretty simple, and I think that's the way it should be. And I hope it always stays this way. But coaching has its great parts and has its tough parts. Losing, as you know, Earl, is miserable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brutal. It's the most miserable thing on earth. And that's the way we coaches take it. I mean, there's nothing worse than a loss in our minds. Does it make it right? Does it make it wrong? But there's nothing worse. But I think the winning, you know, just like a good golf shot, always keeps you coming back. It keeps you coming back for more, and not just winning games, but seeing kids succeed. Seeing kids go through trials and tribulations and come out on the other side better. And I think that's what keeps, you know, guys like myself and assistant coaches Garland and Stevens and even Coach Izzo keeps them coming back.
Yeah. So for guys who are getting like Desmond Ferguson will be coaching his first game tonight for Lansing Everett, and he told me he's very excited about starting his coaching career. Were you that way? Was it exciting when you first got into it?
Well, exciting but nerve wracking. Probably went through 4 or 5 T-shirts. You know what? It's cool though. It's nice to hear that a good coach like Dez is getting into coaching. He'll do a phenomenal job. He's a great person. He works hard. He understands the game. We need more great coaches like Dez to put their name in the ring or put their hat in the ring, and let's get coaching because we need to continue with great leaders in the sporting world, because I think kids gravitate towards athletics. And we've got to continue with the great leadership of the high school coaches, not just in Michigan, but in the Midwest.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, Dane, it's always a good talking with you. I got to go out now. I've got to make a call way out to California to talk with our volleyball coach, Kathy George. She's getting ready for Michigan in the round of 16 in the volleyball tournament.
We're well aware of that over here in the basketball office. We're fired up for them.
Okay. Hey, we'll talk to you later, buddy.
Thank you, Earl.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, bye-bye. And that's Assistant Coach Dane Fife talking basketball with us right here on AM 870. And now we're going to talk volleyball with the head coach of the Michigan State volleyball team, Kathy George. She's out in California getting ready to play against Michigan. She's getting ready for that game. They've got Michigan coming up, and they just beat the defending national champion, UCLA. Just took them out, and now she's on to Michigan. This team has to have a lot of confidence now, defeating the defending national champion, moving on to Michigan to face them in the round of 16. As we've often said here, Big Ten volleyball, no question, the best conference in the nation. It's really, really tough, the volleyball. I mean, here Michigan had finished about 16th, and now the volleyball conference, is Kathy, as you said and I said, is really tough. So let's bring in Kathy George. Kathy, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Earl. How are you?
Okay. Yeah, I say that all the time. As you've told me, the volleyball is definitely the best in the Big Ten, best in the country, and now you're facing Michigan in the round of 16 from a very tough conference.
Isn't that funny? I mean, after mm-hmm. all this, here we are in Cal yep. Berkeley playing Michigan. It's really strange. I was thinking we could probably meet in Brighton.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, cool. Wherever you meet, it might be filled up there out there in California tonight.
Absolutely. It's been fun. No doubt.
Hey, how do you see this team progressing? Are they getting more confident now as they go further on in the tournament?
Well, I think we've always had a lot of confidence, and we've had a couple blips in the road here and there, but, we're regrouped and refocused, and the team, we played Friday against UC San Diego, who they were rated 18th in the country, and I think we did a nice job against them, but we're a little bit, a little bit flat. I think we're still a little jet-lagged and that type of thing, but we showed a lot of resilience and played very hard in the end there in the fifth game, and they challenged us. They were a great defensive team. And then we turned around and we had a lot of energy back. And the next day, it just seemed, even at breakfast, we were kind of feeling more like on the time zone. We were really starting to cook and came in with a purpose against UCLA, which on their home court, defending national championships was a tough thing to do.
Is that tough, beating a team or playing a team on their home court in the tournament?
Yeah, it is. It is. The first and second round go typically to the top 16 seeds in the nation. And so if you're not in that top 16, you will tend to run into people and you have no idea who they are. So, UCLA had not seen us really all year. We hadn't seen them. But we do remember them from obviously we had scouting tapes and that type of thing, but I weren't as familiar with people personally. We were able to see them in the national championship that helped us as well devise a game plan against them.
Now, where did Michigan finish in the Big Ten?
They were tied with us. We were tied.
Okay.
It was kind of interesting in that we won on their home floor and they won on our home floor. So now we're in a neutral place.
Yeah.
And, it's for all the marbles. So
it's going to be a challenge, that's for sure. I mean, how many teams are left now from the Big Ten?
Six out of 16. Mm. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that just shows you how good the Big Ten is.
Absolutely. We have the most from any conference still in the tournament. In fact, at Lafayette, at that regional there, at Purdue, there's three Big Ten teams out of the four. Isn't that crazy?
It is. I mean, you're good and the other teams are good. I mean, it just really shows how good the volleyball is here in the Midwest.
Absolutely. And, that's why we talk about the grind that we have in the Big Ten Conference and that, if you can, really come ahead out of the full 20 matches in the league, you can't hang your head on the loss because it's always to a good team. But you just have to kind of regroup and you have to find position in the Big Ten. And so we've also said that you can finish, you don't have to finish in first in the Big Ten in order to win a national championship. You can be one of six. And depending on your matchups and depending on, where you are and how that works out for you, anything can happen.
How advantageous is it for you to be facing a team you've already faced twice, Michigan? Is it an advantage or is it a plus? Or do you just don't have to do as much scouting? Or do you do even more scouting because it is the NCAA tournament?
I think we do even more scouting because, you want to – it's kind of funny because now you bring in, they know that you do this, so will they do that? And when they played Louisville, it's not necessarily playing us. And so they always make adjustments to us. We make adjustments to them. I really think this is going to be a well-fought match. It's going to be, two teams who know each other extremely well. So you need to try to throw in a couple wrinkles, and I'm sure they will too. We know each other's weaknesses. We know each other's strengths. And so it's going to be a very interesting match. And I feel that it could, go obviously either way. But we just got to stay tough and we got to stay the course. They play great defense. We cannot allow ourselves to get frustrated with that if some of our shots aren't working right away. We have to continue to kind of work the entire court and make sure that they we have to put some strain on that defense ability that they have.
Yeah. Is this one of those games where you tell your players, hey, you don't want you to get too emotional, too emotionally involved in the game to just go out and play the game and play smart?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You got to keep it even. You got to keep it focused. I mean, obviously, I know that we're going to be intense. It's going to be, you know, they're staying at the same hotel, the whole deal, you know, it's kind of funny. But you know, we just need to keep it real even and just get in there and remember what we're trying to do on each and every point.
Yes, because that's got to be a big challenge for you, the coaches, and for the players. You're going to be facing a team that you faced before. You, like you say, you're living in the same hotel. And then, you know, you're facing basically your arch rival in the conference out in California. So there's a lot to be said about playing your arch rival on a neutral court.
And we've reached out to our alums out here, you know, and we got quite a few at USC, and we're hoping to get a bunch in Northern California as well.
And that'll be good. The more fans you can have out there, because even when I've been to the volleyball games, I mean, the crowd has a big impact on the game. If they're cheering for you and such, that really makes a difference, doesn't it?
Especially when you're both on the neutral court, you mm-hmm. know, so you're getting your fans, but when you're out in California, fewer of those fans come out. And so, you know, we will have a group, but, you know, if we can grab some extra people that live in the area, that would be phenomenal.
Yeah. Is there anything, it's probably not anything you can do to tell them to do something different for Michigan. You've probably done everything you can. Or is there something that, can you spring a surprise on them at this date?
Well, you know, I think that we know each other and everything that we're capable of doing, because you don't want to force your team to do something that they're not really good at, because that would cause errors, and we don't need to do that. But we've got to make sure that, you know, knowing what they do and how they respond, you know, with shots that we have in our arsenal, we need to make sure we're mixing them up a little bit and taking advantage of weaknesses more often. So, you know, I do think that a trick here and there possibly, but you have to score so many points that you're not going to win a match with that. You know what I mean?
Yep. And now, does this hurt you or help you as far as recruiting? Because you probably be, if you weren't in the tournament, you'd probably be out recruiting, wouldn't you?
Well, actually, there's a dead period that started with women's volleyball because of the tournament. And so, no, the recruiting kind of takes a little bit of a backseat right now. And what happens is in later January, with these dead period opens up so that we can all get out there. But they want all the people to be at the national championships and, you know, really get the volleyball community out to attend matches in Louisville. So they do put all the coaches, you know, they don't want coaches out recruiting while the other ones are playing.
Right.
So they put that dead period in there and made it really nice for those teams competing, that they don't have to feel that stress.
Well, when is the next game?
We play Friday at 5:30. So that's where we're at. And it's live on ESPN3 on Friday night, and Saturday night would be on ESPNU. So everybody can watch.
Yeah, we can definitely. So we'll be sitting at home in front of the tube watching Michigan State and cheering you guys on.
Well, thank you much, Earl.
Hey,
we really do
you.
Appreciate it. And appreciate your good thoughts from across the way.
Hey, thank you, and hey, best of luck to you, and hey, I'll certainly be cheering you on and cheering for the Spartans, so hey, have a good one for us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay,
appreciate
thank
it.
You. Yeah, bye-bye. And that's the head coach, Kathy George, of Michigan State's volleyball team, and once again, that's you can call us right now at 884-4783 for tickets to win to MSU basketball. Give us a call about that right now. Hopefully, you'll be watching the volleyball game Friday night, Michigan State on ESPN3. That's Michigan State in Michigan out there in the NC2A tournament in the round of 16. So that's got to be awfully, awfully special for Coach George and for the Spartans. And, you know, that's a tremendous tribute to her. Finished sixth in the conference and now in the round of 16. Doesn't get any better than that, other than winning the tournament. As we've said, volleyball is definitely very strong here in the Midwest, and Michigan State and Michigan, no exception. Both teams have very strong teams and play very good volleyball. The time right now is 1:30. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way each and every day from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, you can give us a call for the first time at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And Aaron, I have to ask you, buddy, did you watch RG3 last night? Did you watch that New York Redskins game last night?
Nope, because I'm waiting for you to tell me all the info. Did he throw 14 touchdowns, run for 1,800 yards?
He ran for one, and he threw a couple of passes.
Okay.
Well, so he had a good game.
I'm assuming they won?
Yes, they did.
Well, what was the final score?
Let me see. I think I have that laying over here because it was a good game, and everybody seemed to be very impressed with RG3 and how he did. And, it was a good game. I watched some of it. I didn't see the whole thing. I was doing some other things at the time. But, that was a good game and a very good. They won 17-16. That's right. I did go in the other near the end of the game. A very good defensive game. And so that was a very strong game, and that both teams played good defense, and Washington won out. Well, tonight is the night of the start of boys high school basketball. Girls started on Friday, and they have some games tonight. So we'll have the boys and the girls high school basketball going on tonight. So hopefully all of the folks out there, maybe even you will get to a high school game here in the Mid-Michigan area. I know you're a Detroiter. I know you like to watch your Detroit ball, but maybe I can get you interested in the Mid-Michigan area basketball.
Well, I mean, I actually grew up in the Mid-Michigan area. Back up in Saginaw area. But, maybe I can even get on the court and see what I can do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, I mean, I can probably, get some water for the guys or something. But that'd be about it.
Oh, so you're just being modest. Hey, give us a call at Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, or toll-free 877-9527-870. And, Aaron, Kathy's got me intrigued to watch that volleyball game coming up Friday night. Should be a good game. I like volleyball, but I don't get to watch a lot of it, but I'm definitely going to make sure that I get a chance to watch this game coming up Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they're playing Michigan in the tournament already, I mean, that's obviously bodes well for the Big Ten in volleyball, but
yes.
The fact that you're playing your crosstown rival.
Out in California in the round of 16.
Yeah, I mean, the odds of that happening obviously are probably looks like pretty good in volleyball, but, if that happened in basketball in the tournament or something, or some magical way Michigan State and Michigan ended up in the same bowl game, which would never happen, but the fact that you're playing your crosstown rival is pretty cool to see.
Yeah,
so I mean, I'm sure it's going to get some good TV ratings, and the people that traveled for both teams out to California that were able to, I'm sure they're going to have a nice packed house, and it's probably going to be a fun game to watch.
Oh, that's for sure. That's what I would say. It's going to be a packed house out there. It should be a fun game to watch. And for all the folks that are traveling out there to watch volleyball, hey, congratulations to you, because that's something I can't afford to do. In all honesty, I can't afford to get on a plane and go to California and watch volleyball. I have to sit at home and watch it on the tube, and like a lot of us will, and enjoy the game that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like...
See, I don't have ear money here. I don't have the Aaron money.
Yeah, well, I could lend you a few dollars and get you about... get you past 96, and that's as far as you're going to get. So, I mean, it'd be great if we could go out there, but we'll sit on our couch and support them that way.
Yeah, that's for sure. It should be a very exciting game, though, in all seriousness. That should be a good game between... I mean, finish tied for six. I remember they do finish tied for six. They both won on each other's court. So what better way can you finish a series? You won each game you played each other. You won on the other team's court. Now you're playing on a totally neutral court for the tiebreaker and to finish your series off for the year. I don't think it gets any better than that.
No, I mean, as far as a crosstown rival, I mean, if you can come back home and say, hey, we're 2-1 against you this year, that's something Michigan and Michigan State fans, that's always a little of one of those bragging rights that they have. So the fact that Michigan State lost at home and Michigan lost at home when they played each other, here's your chance to redeem yourself. So may the best team win and have the bragging rights coming home.
Yes, that's for sure. There will be some. There'll be some bright, and there'll even be a little bit of trash talking. That's for sure. Both the teams. Especially when you've won. Let's say I beat you on your court, and now I beat you on a neutral court. So that's going to be. There should be a little bit of trash talking as well when you get ready to go home.
Yeah, I mean, it always is. I'm sure there'll be some things on Twitter or Facebook or whatever the case is. But you know what? That comes with the sport. I think it's 2012 now, so I think most people come to expect it anyway. But I can't imagine in volleyball that you're going to get too harsh of too many harsh things to say. So I'm sure it's going to be all in good fun, though.
Yeah, it should be, that's for sure. Hey, we've got had such a diverse show today, talking with Kathy George out in California, talking with Dane Fife, assistant coach at men's basketball, and now I've got coming up, we've got first-year coach Desmond Ferguson of Lansing Everett. So we've had a very diverse show today, NC2A tournament, college basketball, and high school basketball. So a wide range of subject today, and this is nice. I sort of like doing these kind of shows. We got a chance to touch on all the different venues. And so, it's going to be a challenge today, of course. But I really like doing shows like these.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to get a good mix of, different topics. I think one thing that sports talk shows do sometimes that are more national scale is, they always pick the topics that are usually dealt with on the mainstream that ESPN covers. Sometimes I think on a local level you have to do the local things. I mean, sure. I mean, does everyone love volleyball? No, probably not. But if there's no outlet for those sports. If we didn't call Kathy, I mean, I'm sure there's other sports that do or other media outlets that do. But, when you have a local team that they don't get the hype, they don't get the, attention that they do, some of the more bigger revenue sports, your local media outlets need to cover those. So I think that's good that we kind of change things up a little, do things a lot locally and leave the sort of big, controversial topics to your sort of big dogs, ESPN, and some of the bigger radio shows that, other stations are doing around the country.
Okay. Well, we want you to stay tuned for more sports talk after we take this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Where do you go for rich conversation on the topics that matter most? The radio is more responsive than the water cooler, and we take your calls. I'm Neil Conan. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Join us for provocative talk on the issues you really care about. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Becoming mostly sunny today, the high in the low 50s. Tonight will be mostly clear with a low of 29. Sunny on Wednesday, the high will be 36 degrees tomorrow. Looking ahead to Thursday, it'll be partly sunny and the high will be 40. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. And we're going to give away the tickets a little bit later on today. If you want to win tickets to the Arkansas Pine Bluff basketball game, give us a call at 884-4783, area code 517-884-4783, and you can win yourself a pair of tickets to the Arkansas Pine Bluff Michigan State basketball game coming up tomorrow night. Once again, that number 884-4783, area code 517, for your chance to win tickets to the basketball game coming up tomorrow night. Well, now let's bring in first-year coach Desmond Ferguson of the Lansing Everett Vikings. Coach, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. How about yourself?
Okay. Well, as you know, I asked you earlier, how are you? Your first game as a high school coach. So are you excited? So what are you feeling at this point in time? You're just a few hours away from tip-off.
Well, last few days, just been getting ready and looking forward to it. But as of the last day or so, man, I've got a little more excited. I feel like I'm about to play my first high school game as opposed to coaches. So, you know, I've been feeling like the kids really, you know, really didn't get a lot of rest last night, but really anxious and, you know, looking forward to it.
Yeah. Now, how is the team? I mean, you've been coaching them all winter. You coach them some during the summer tournament. So how do you think this team is going to be?
You know, as far as wins and losses, I wouldn't put a number on it, but I feel we'll be much improved from last year. You know, we're hanging our hat on defense. My guys been playing hard. They've been practicing hard. So, you know, hopefully that carry over towards the game. But I think we'll be improved, you know, compared to last year.
So you got them to buy into everything you're trying to teach them, all the different concepts. And really, you got kids, and high school kids, to think defense. I know that's got to be challenging.
Historically, that's what Everett High School is all about. I was a part of a team that played defense. Many teams there have been defense, so we've just been selling them on the history of the Everett program. And, I've been there, done that, so I think they listen to me, and they've really been putting in the work. We got a good coaching staff, and they've been listening, and it's been some carryover.
Now, would Johnny be at the game tonight? Will he be out there?
Coach Jones will be there. You know, he's a guy. You know, obviously with his many years, 32 years of, you know, high school head coaching experience, you know, some guy, you know, I call to for advice and lean on a certain thing because he's obviously been there, done that. So, yeah, he'll be at the game.
Yeah, because you're starting out, you're in a very tough league, that league you're in, and you've got some great teams in there, Grand Ledge, Holt, and other teams in there. So how do you look at the challenge to this league with so many good teams you got to face week in and week out?
I mean, what better way to play, in my opinion, the best conference in the state of Michigan. So, I mean, you got Sexton who won, you know, back-to-back state championship. Eastern has been a top team in the state over, you know, X amount of years. East Lansing is good. You know, Oakmont has been good, like you said, Hope, Grand Ledge, you know, Jackson. So, I mean, it's definitely a tough conference. But, that's where the competitor has to come in, you know, as a coach and as players and, you know, to accept the challenge.
Yeah, so how do you see yourself fitting in as a coach into this very tough conference?
Well, I just, you know, I've had many experiences, playing basketball at many levels. Mm-hmm. So I just use those experiences to teach the kids as much as possible and hope they're able to learn, grasp the thing, and apply it, you know, to the practice and to the games. And, that's what it is, you know. Like I said, we got great coaches, great teams in the league, so. We just got to get in where we fit in, wherever that may be.
Yeah. Now, did you win the Moneyball tournament this year, your team?
Yeah, we won. Valentine hit that shot at the buzzer at the end for us to win it. So, yeah, we got us another chip.
Okay, because so that makes three for you, doesn't it?
Three, might be four.
Okay.
I can't remember. Somewhere around there, you know. But, we on average, we've been winning one maybe every other year, every 2 years, something like that.
Okay, yeah. I know you fielded a pretty good team during that tournament. I know I've teased you about it from time to time. But you play your own tournament very, very well.
Yeah. We have a number of good players in it. And, every year, you know, if we lose, you suppose why you losing this your own league? Then we win, all your team is stacked. You're supposed to win in your own league, so you know, I can't win either way. But it's been very good for the city, for the, you know, college players and pro players and everyone.
Yeah, and of course, you've got the did many of the guys come out and watch you guys play from week to week or from time to time?
Who is that?
Your guys on your team now, that many of those guys come out to watch?
Yeah, some of the guys came, especially towards the playoffs and championship. I've seen quite a few guys there. So it gives them something to, aspire to be and hopefully get to the college level where, you know, they can play in the summer league. And because, you know, like I said, with it being a basketball city, it allows them to look for something to do in the summer as well as fans and stuff. So I think it's just good for the community.
Yeah. So was it difficult teaching kids or did they gravitate naturally after watching you play and the guys play in the summer? Do they sort of graduate to defense or do they just have to fight a little bit? Or do you just is it more of a smooth transition, I guess I'm trying to say?
Well, unfortunately, I was able to be assistant coach last year, so I was able to, voice my opinion on a few things, not having the head voice. You still had a head coach, but I think over time, they kind of understand, and then when they see they have some type of success by playing defense and playing hard, they tend to buy into it, more because, the proof is in the pudding. When you tend to play well as a team, from doing the things that the coach instructs you to do. I think you have a tendency to do those things that the coach wants you to do.
Yeah, I know this year that you'll probably see a few teams where you'll be at the same boat. You got guys coming in like Okemos. They're having a first-year coach. What's different for a team that's coming in with a new coach? And like yourself, you're in a new coach, but you're coming in just from not having coached at all to coaching a team, as opposed to a guy who's maybe coached a few years somewhere else and then comes over to our league, to one of our leagues, to be a coach in that.
Well, you know, the difference, I think, head coaches that's been around for years, they have their philosophies. The program is pretty much established. Everyone knows what to expect, from the coaching staff and players on down. And when you have new coaches, there's new philosophies, new things that go on. Everybody got to get acclimated, so it's a transitional period. So, those are probably the two biggest things between a coach that's been around for some years and new coaches.
Yes, I know that's got to make you excited. I know, as you told me, you're excited and you're happy, looking forward to this new challenge for you and for Lansing Everett, and getting all the community and everybody involved in that community come out and support the games. Because I know support has waned a little bit the last few years. So do you have to do much to try to get the people to come out and be in the stands for games and looking forward to this first game?
Well, at the end of the day, when you win games, people come out and check you out. And also the type of brand of basketball that you play, when fans and people see kids playing hard and, playing with passion and really into the game, I think people got a tendency to draw into that and want to watch it. So, we're just trying to, keep the history going and create that culture to get people back in the stands at the games.
Yeah, that's going to be a challenge, getting the fans to come back. As you know, basketball fans are fickle, to put it politely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Because I've been to some section games, and they've been one of the better teams and ever come around the last couple years, and I still didn't feel they got the support that they necessarily should have gotten. Right. With Lansing being a basketball city. So it's tough. We experienced it, like we talked about it with the pro-am. Mm-hmm. Getting people out on a consistent basis. But you gotta control what you can control, and everything else fall where it may.
Any surprises for you from all the players that you have, from the players that you've coached? So if I come out to the game tonight, what will I see basically? And do you have any surprise or any guys surprising you that's on your roster?
Yeah, I would advise you to definitely come out. I don't want to give everything away, but I would like for you to come check it out. I think we got a couple surprises. I think the guys will play hard. Like I said, we'll be defensive-minded, and you'll see improvement from, the last couple of years. But I don't want to give any players too much away. I want them to show improvement, for everybody to check them out.
Okay, well, hopefully the guys and people will come out. I'll be there to watch it, because, as you know, this is my last year of covering high school basketball. So,
is it? Yeah. Oh, man. We got to get you the mini games as possible.
I'm getting ready to hang them up after this year. So I'll be out at Vikings Country tonight. I covered a lot of Viking games over the years, so this will be nice to come out and see you in your first game and look at this team as I'm getting ready to retire. So it should be nice, and I know I'm looking forward to it.
Looking forward to seeing you. I'll make sure I speak to you right when you're there.
Okay. Hey, good talking with you, Desmond, and I'll see you tonight at the game, buddy.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. And that's bye-bye. And that's Desmond Ferguson, the head coach of Lansing Everett Vikings. And he'll be starting out tonight, 7 or 6 o'clock, I believe, is the game time. So I'll see you over there if you get over there for the game. The guys' games start out before the girls' games this year. So the guys will be playing first, and the girls will follow second. So you get over there tonight and watch the guys play tonight. And I'll be over there to look at his first game over at Lansing Everett Vikings, and we'll see them tonight. And Aaron, I don't know if you're going anywhere, but I'll be heading over there tonight. I let out a little secret out there. I'm gonna go see Desmond's first game. It'll be his first game and one of my last games as far as doing all the basketball this year. So I'll be covering high school and college basketball this year. But this is gonna be my first year, first game covering high school basketball. Like I said, it's to me, it's a little bit unique. I'll see him doing his first game in basketball, which is going to be a little exciting for me, watching him getting out there and coaching.
Yeah, I mean, who's their opponent just off the...
Williamston, though, tonight.
So, I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a decent game. And, I'm sure he's looking forward to having you coming out and cover the game. And, like I said earlier, I think it's good that we get as many media outlets can cover, local sports as much as they can. It's always a good thing.
Yep, and it is good. It's good for many of us local people and local media get out here and cover the games. And so, yeah, so I'm looking forward to that game, and it should be fun tonight, and it should be a good game. And then we have the Spartans playing tomorrow night, Arkansas Pine Bluff tomorrow night. Hopefully we can give those tickets away here at the end of the day. Give us a call at 884-4783. That's area code 517-884-4783. We'll have a pair of tickets for you. We can give those away tonight for tomorrow night's game, Arkansas Pine Bluff and Michigan State, 884-4783, area code 517. If you want to go to Arkansas Pine Bluff, if you haven't had a chance to be in our Breslin Arena to see a basketball game, it's a great chance for you to go. So give us a call and register for your chance to win tickets to Michigan State basketball. Once again, 884-4783. For your chance to win tickets to MSU basketball. We've got like about four games left in the month of December, and you'll be able to see one of these games. We have a few games to give away. I don't think we'll be giving away tickets for the game coming up in Jenison Fieldhouse. That game's already sold out. That game's going to be packed, sort of revival. I think they'll be able to get around 6,000 people in Jenison Fieldhouse for that game. So that's going to be an exciting game as well. So give us a call at Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870. I know we talked a little bit about it yesterday. We didn't talk a lot about it, but Aaron, your Detroit Lions. I don't know what to say about your Lions. They lose these close games, games that they shouldn't lose, and yet they let Indianapolis score on the last play of the game. It's like one of those college games. You know how you see a last minute Hail Mary. I mean, the play was so simple, and they just caught a short pass and ran into the end zone without even being touched. So what can I say about your Detroit Lions? I give them to you. You're the Lions expert here.
Well, I mean, I've been reading forums, and I read an article today, too, that, everyone's like, oh, fire Schwartz, fire this person, fire that person. Yeah. Well, I think people are forgetting what happened, I don't know, basically the last decade with the Detroit Lions, which was absolutely nothing. They did nothing the last 10 years. Basically until they got Stafford as a quarterback, this team did absolutely nothing before that. Where were you then? I mean, sure, we were firing coaches and changing things up, and nothing was happening. And finally, Matt Millen,
got rid of him,
and things started kind of going a little bit the direction. But even before that, even before 2000, this team really did nothing. I mean, you just had years and years and years of, and a lot of people like to blame sort of the Ford family for this, which is acceptable, I think, and to a certain extent. But the reality is, from 2009 to now, this team has had a complete turnaround. If you are expecting a complete turnaround to win the Super Bowl after, I don't know, I'm going to say 20, 30 years of just, even maybe even more, of just doing nothing and sporadic years where they had success and maybe made a playoff game. If you expect a sort of culture change in that environment and that quick of time, you are delusional and you shouldn't even be a sports fan for that matter. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? Fire this, fire that. Then you're putting yourself back another 2 or 3 years. This team is going to have its setbacks, and I'm fine with them losing close games. Because they used to get blown out by other teams.
That's true.
No team gave them any respect. Teams respect them now. That is fine. Detroit has its problems on defensive side, sure. Am I saying that some of their coaches could be fired and they need to replace? I don't know. Maybe. That's debatable. But obviously they need a lot of help on defense. Their offense can have obviously pass block, but can they run block? Sort of. Not really. But the reality is I think fans are way overreacting in the fact that, oh, we want a Super Bowl now, or, hey, I'm expecting this. I want this. Well, you're not the one running the team. How about you go and run the team and tell me how easy it is for you to run the team? The fact is this team hasn't been good for 30 years, and now since they're finally gotten to the playoffs last year, granted they were a little bit embarrassed, I mean, this is going to take some time. Give it some time. I mean, you can't expect certain things. The reality is, you know, people have been waiting for the day that Detroit is actually good. So I'm still with this team. The fact that they've lost close games, I think, is a positive note. Granted, they've made major mistakes, and it's not just on the players' fault, but everyone agrees on that. So, you know, I fully expect them to have a good last year's draft was kind of questionable a little bit. Yeah. I expect them to have learned from that, have a better draft this coming year. Improve on next year. You know, they got a lot of, you know, they've had injuries up the butt. I mean, this year that's just really hurt them. So I fully expect them to come back next year and be competitive again and, you know, maybe win these close games. But, you know, sometimes I think the fans just overreact and want too much too quickly. But, you know, come next year, they'll be ready to rock and roll. The fans will. So they'll forget about this year again.
Yeah, they probably will. You know, I'll be sort of cheering for them. I just hope, because, see, I suffered for all those years when they had the greatest runner in football out there, when Barry Sanders was there, and they got, and I saw the frustration on Barry's face. He held it on pretty good, but that was why he quit after 10 years, because he could have played a couple more years at a very good rate. He was very healthy. But after playing 10 years, he decided to retire. He had enough of losing. That takes its toll on you when you lose that many games year in and year out. So I don't blame Barry for quitting. He did his best to help what he could. You know, I always say it takes all 22 players to win a game, not just one player. But he was one great player, maybe the greatest running back of his time. That he just did a great job as a runner. I just wish he could have got to some more playoff games, but he didn't get many. They had a good offensive line at times during his era, but not for the whole era. But they had a few years where they had some very good offensive lines, and they were just some very good teams. But they never put the whole thing together, and I know that made a lot of people very frustrated.
Yeah, it did. I mean, can you imagine him on a team where he had a great, and like you said, they had a couple years where they had some great offensive lines. And but can you imagine him on a team that had a great defense, you know, a very good overall offense? I mean, he was still good even when they didn't have a decent line. So the fact that he was able to produce great numbers without really having great teams, I mean, he would be the best running back of all time if he was on a team. You know, W's always make things look greater. So if he was on a team that was getting a lot of wins and did a lot of great things and won Super Bowls, I mean, he would be the talk of the town for years and years. But you know, he was on an organization that just didn't do all that well. And you know, like you said, he got frustrated. I think after he could only take it for so long, and he wasn't the type of guy to say, hey, I want to get traded, or hey, I demand this or I demand that because I know I'm great. You know, like you said, I think he was very professional about it for the most part, and he still has a lot of respect for Detroit, and he still loves that team and still
lives in the city.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's one thing that probably goes underrated about him, and he's just a professional, not just from a athletic standpoint, but a sort of a business side of things when it comes to sports, that he was a very professional guy. And, you know, I don't know of anyone that disrespects him in any sort of way. He has a lot of respect in sort of the NFL industry.
Yes, he's just one of the best of all times, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call, Talk Sports with us right here. Well, I guess we better get ready. If we got any callers over there, can you win the tickets?
Yep, Casey from St. John's is our lucky winner today for tomorrow's game.
Okay, well, we got two pair of tickets for tomorrow's game, remember?
Yeah, well, we only got one caller, so.
Well, unless someone else calls in, someone else have a chance for a pair of tickets, but you better call in right now, 884-4783, area code 517. I want to thank you all for listening, and thank you all for calling. Come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR, and we're going to talk about more about the Michigan State game coming up tomorrow night, and we look forward to hearing from you and talking sports with you right here on AM 870. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. We come to you from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So make sure you come back and join us tomorrow and have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening as we'll talk more sports with you right here on AM 870. WKAR in East Lansing. So have a good evening, and I think we got another caller coming in, and we'll be telling you about the ticket winners tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.